Hello, I'm Hattie Ashdown and I host this Funny Mummies podcast. I just wanted to remind you, we are still running our offer of a free sponsorship on one of our episodes. So this episode is sponsored by Peace and Riot. Here's Caroline Hardy to tell you more about what they have planned.
Hello, I'm Caroline Newt Hardy, founder of Peace and Riot, a third space where we're not family friendly, we're parent friendly. At Peace and Riot, you can pull up a pew to work, play, eat, drink, and do all with our lovely staff to lend a hand. Whilst you're waiting for Peace and Riot to land near you, head to our online shop and treat yourself to our parent survival packs. Find us on Instagram at Peace and Riot Co and follow the links to the shop and sign up to hear more. I'll leave you now to enjoy Hattie's excellent podcast.
Thank you to Caroline there. You can also find out more from shop.peaceandriot.com. If you would like to feature in a future episode or nominate a small business, just email us via the website screamingoflaughter.com. I would also like to take this opportunity before we get going to listen to this episode to tell you about a live Zoom gig we have planned for the 18th of November at 8 p.m. With the UK in a national lockdown, that means basically no live events. We, in association with Nice and Spiky, are putting on a comedy show that will be live and unique for you, the audience. We've got a top lineup of comedians from TV and radio, and it will be beamed live via Zoom to your living room. If you want to find out more, go to screamingoflaughter.com for tickets. Okay, let's get into today's episode, where myself and Gemma Beagley introduce our brand new series titled Mums on TV. So put the kettle on and settle in. This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. So, sure. And maybe that's because of some of the things we're going to be talking about today. So, welcome to a new series where we are going to be talking to and about mums on TV. So, we're very excited. In light of some of our exciting guests from TV coming up, myself and Gemma Beagley, thought let's chat about all our favourite mums on UK and US TV, past and present. So, Gemma, she's here. We're on Zoom. We're drinking tea. And that theme tune we started with was, of course, for any young people, Gemma. What was it?
Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Golden Girls, yeah.
So this was a choice of yours, actually. It's funny, isn't it? Because I think it's like that question when you go TV mums, what's the first thing comes to your head? And that was one of the first things came to your head. And Golden Girls wasn't for me, but of course they got they live together.
They live together, yeah. And so it's just and what I loved most was the tenderness. You know, you had this grumpy Sicilian elder, you know, and with the back chat, but the tenderness that she'd show Dorothy then, you know, when Dorothy needed her mum, it was really beautiful.
Because it was her and her mum, and then who was the other, what was she in relation to them?
And they were just housemates.
They were just housemates, wasn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't, yeah. I've got to be honest, it's one of those things where I can't remember it a lot.
I need to go back on the box set.
I need to go back on the box set.
Not really. I think, yeah, do you know what? It's one of those like Cheers, I think, where it was huge. It was huge in its day. More so in America than it was here. And I think it used to be shown on Channel 4 here. You know, Channel 4 showed, they showed Cheers and this as well, and Roseanne, and they exported a load of American comedy. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think like if you watch two episodes, you'll get the drift.
Yeah.
Really, of what's going on.
So what era was this then? This was 80s.
Yeah, mid-80s. And it ran, by the looks of it, it ran until 1991.
Because it's very like, I'm sure some kids wear like a Golden Girls t-shirt and don't even know what they're wearing, but it's like become a thing now, isn't it? I see it. I see it in sort of like, you know, kicked bars and stuff. They're lovely. But yeah, in terms of the mum, so we're talking about the TV mums. Doesn't have to be comedy, obviously. So she was, yeah, because she was quite tough. She was sort of like, if anyone knows, she was sort of like a small little sort of almost tornado, wasn't she? But
yeah, with that sort of tight perm.
Yeah. And I guess as with a lot of sitcoms, but they're depicting something that obviously a lot of people could relate to, that kind of, you know, yeah, living with your, or still living with your mum, or even living down the road from your mum, Gemma.
Yeah, yes, well, I mean, I have my very own version of Golden Girls going on in Mitcham, South London. Yes, I suppose I do, yeah. My mum is not Sicilian, though. She's more... Well, she grew up in Tulse Hill, so she's not really, just not totally Sicilian. And
but yeah, she's great talking, I think.
Well, I almost think maybe there's a bit of a role reversal going on there. Like, I think she's probably more of the Dorothy character, and maybe I'm like more bitter than she is, really. I feel a lot more jaded than my own mother, who's 27 years older than me.
How has that happened?
Well, one of us has gone for a marriage ending, I suppose, and the other one, end of their marriage was caused by death. It's a bit different.
The Golden Girls set up, yeah, whether they were, at they like, that was the whole thing, wasn't they? They were sort of unlucky with men and stuff. I guess that was...
Yes, yeah, so there, they were all single women, and... yeah, so they were just these. I mean, it's.
Right, I'm not quizzing you. You're not on mum's mind. And you're
all right. Yeah.
No, I'm just interested. So, because I did ask you what were some of your favourite mums, and obviously we'll get to mine in a minute. But I'm interested. I don't know why I'm looking so deeply into the psychology, trying to like psychology of why you picked these mums. Because I'm like, I think the different mums that. When I think of this theme, TV, you know, TV mums, I'm either attracted to ones that are like quite like my mum, or you know, a bit cosy, or attracted to ones that are so completely different, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's go through some of your choices.
Okay.
Who would you like to start off with?
Well, let's start with Carol Jackson.
Yes. I was hoping you were going to say that, Carol Jackson. Those that don't know, from
EastEnders.
EastEnders.
So Carol Jackson was a real, so this is, we're talking mid-90s here, early to mid-90s when the Jacksons came in. She came in with these four kids. She was a young mum. She came in with four kids, all by four different men. She was with the father of her youngest, Billy Jackson. And she was so like, I suppose like a tabloid kind of, not very scummy mum, but you know, she was this, at the time would have been this tabloid benefits, you know, unemployed, four kids by four different dads. But she was absolute, like she would stick up for her kids, you know, she was also a real a real fighter and had a real acid tongue. And, you know, she'd have a go at her kids, but you dare lay a finger on my kids and I'll have you, you know. Yeah. And for the reason that she popped into my head was around the, again, it's more that the relationship with the daughter, which was, there was a storyline they had where Carol had a boyfriend, Dan Sullivan, and Bianca started having an affair. Her daughter started having an affair with him, so with her mum's boyfriend.
Yes.
And it was just, it was electrifying television, really, as far as soaps can be, you know. Yeah. Just sneaking around. It's like, oh God, you know, she's going to find out. And when she did find out, she chucked the boyfriend out, and there were just these amazing scenes between Bianca and Carol and her mum. Really, really great actress. She was a brilliant actress as
well.
Oh
yeah,
really, really good. She played it really well. But I was looking at her backstory there, and Carol Jackson, not the actress, and she had Bianca at 13 or 14.
Wow.
She had three kids by 18 or something.
That was what they were. Well, I guess that does happen.
It was the 70s.
It was the 70s. So you were attracted to her, for want of a better word, because of, yeah, just being so bloody tough, I guess.
Just really, really tough. And I think that, it, you know, and we'll get on to this to touch on it, is that in soap, you don't have that caricature that you have in comedy. And so actually, you know, a character like her wouldn't work in comedy, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, because of the in inverted commas realness of her.
Yeah,
you know, it's not, you'd have to go, you know, more Waynetta Slob, really. You know, so actually it's I went soap because of that realness rather than a caricature, you know. Obviously not particularly aspirational, you know. She just every single storyline she went down, it did not end well for her at all, poor woman.
Well, that's bloody EastEnders for you.
Well, exactly, soaps, exactly. Exactly. But a tough old boot, that one.
There would be, yeah. Okay. And should we do a choice each, or what do you think?
Just do a choice each.
Okay. So, see, I don't know if you've seen this next one, so I feel like I need to play another little tune. We can always talk over it, because I just bloody love this, the theme tune to my choice, which, can I get it up? So it's for anyone going, oh God, how old are you? I don't really, I remember watching this really, really little, as in my mum used to, like, I used to watch Dynasty and stuff like when I was really little. That's what my
yes, same, yeah.
So this, I sort of, I look at the age and I think, I wasn't even born when it first came out, but I must have seen the reruns or whatever, or when I was really little. It's Butterflies, and it's another one written by the same person as Bread, that's right?
Yeah, and the Live of Birds as well.
Yes, yeah. But I love the blooming theme tune, so let's have
a listen. Of course.
Let's have a listen.
Wendy Craig singing.
So it's, yes, Wendy Craig sang. So that's why I wanted to, obviously the song was originally by Dolly Parton.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
And of course we're going into all sorts about these things now. But the mum in that is called Rhea, Wendy Craig.
And yeah, but she sings, you know, years later when we sort of realized, so she sings that. I was like, so that's why I love that version as well. And I think part of it, it's that thing of like, at the time I didn't think about, oh, she's just like amazing mum character, but it's just looking back now. At the time, I think it was more that I was an aspiring actress and I just thought, I've never seen a mum like that. So she had two sons, which I was thinking today, I am becoming Rhea. She had two, the joke was always because she had two gangly, tall sons. And she just, for me, represented the, you know, the opposite to the Bisto mum, which was like, you know, because she couldn't cook. She didn't want to cook. And she wanted more out of life than just being a mum. And for me, it was so ahead of its time. And I don't know if anyone else was really doing that of that time, because all the sitcoms were yeah, there was loads of sitcoms, you know, where the mum's like, oh, get out from under my feet or whatever, that kind of thing. But she was, I guess also, they were quite middle class. So I guess we probably maybe hadn't really seen that from a middle class family. And it was just that kind of thing of the children had grown up and now what do I do sort of thing. But it was just that thing of, yeah, she, and she couldn't cook and she'd burn the dinners again, just like me. And it was good because it wasn't like a bloke coming in moaning about it. Her husband, played by it, the lovely Jeffrey Palmer, would come in and he wouldn't moan about it. He'd just be like, oh, all right, good, yes. Burn, I don't know why I'm doing northern voice. He'd be completely not northern. He'd be like, oh, yes, good. Just what I wanted, you know, burn custard. I was really fancying that today, you know. And because one of her sons was played by Nicholas Lyndhurst, who was Only Fools and Horses. But yeah, so I just loved her. And she had this whole, it was called Butterflies, but she had this sort of gentleman friend. Nothing ever happened, but I think he sort of represented like another life in another world. And they would just literally sometimes just have a coffee, or sometimes she would just bump into him. But
yeah.
And also, I think it might have been one of the first sitcoms where you had like a narration, her thoughts, a narration. Not quite narration, but like it would sometimes just play her thoughts.
And I imagine that you wouldn't see this on television, where you'd have a woman where it's about the woman.
Yes, it was. She was the central. She was the.
It was absolutely about a woman and an old, you know, actually an older woman as well. So we're not talking.
Yeah.
You know, Sex and the City here. We're talking. More, yeah, like an older woman.
I don't know
woman.
How old she was meant to be when the kids had grown up, but and when I got a bit older and I was trying to be an aspiring actress, I actually took one of the scenes she does, which was basically like a monologue. It's just all her, and she's at home, and I was like, that would be a great, you know, when I'm trying to audition for drama school, and I just wrote it all down, and I did.
Well, you wrote it, did you?
I wrote it all down, and I did it as a monologue. But looking back, Gemma, trying to play like I think she was meant to be a 42-year-old woman, and yeah. I was like 18, 19. That's not what I'm doing. But I don't know.
Can you remember what the scene was about?
I wasn't ready to play. Oh, of course I can.
You did have a life experience, darling.
I didn't have the life experience. So she's there and she's hoovering. She's sort of hoovering and she's fed up. And then it says, I just love the line. She says, oh, I could cry. She's like, I can't remember the whole speech, but it's all about, I just want to get out. I want to experience new things. And she says, I want to pull life through the letterbox. And I just loved the line. And I think, yeah, I think she was maybe waiting for some posters. Maybe that was connection. And that was it. And that was the beginning of, you know, can you imagine me doing it as the monologue? I'm gonna go back over the series and try and find it. But yeah, so for me, I've not thought about it till now. Maybe that was also a representation of me going, you know what, it's all right to be not a perfect mum. You know, sort of cuddly mum, that, or not just about that, but to be all right to moan about it.
Who like to moan about it? So yeah.
Lovely choice.
Next choice, I'm gonna see if I can find you another theme tune, because I think I know what your next choice is going to be. Do you want to tell us what your next choice is?
Yeah, so the other one I chose was Nellie Boswell from Bread.
But another?
Yes, another tough woman.
She's a tough woman. I think we're going to see maybe a theme.
Yes, you see, that's interesting, isn't it? Yes, yes. I didn't make the connection there.
There we go. Any young people don't know? Gotta find it, get us a share. Make the bread out of nothing but air. Riding high and hitting the ground. Catching a penny, but missing the pound. Doesn't matter, cause we'll soon turn it around. Soon as we get home, that's why we're trying home. '86 to 1991. Well, that's what it says on this YouTube.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah, so.
You were quite young. You'd have been like me watching it as a.
Yeah, I would. I was young, but it wasn't on late, so I guess it was appropriate. You know, it's the same kind of. I think it used to be on the same kind of time as Last the Summer Wine on a Sunday or something, you know, it kind of songs of praise kind of slot. And but she was
So she was
the matriarch of a family of, I think there's four sons and a daughter.
Yeah.
Aveline was the daughter.
Aveline.
And they were all, well, a few of them were on the, you know, the idea was that basically she'd want them to go out and bring home money, you know. And so some of them were on the pinch, and they're on the dole, and there are lots of scenes in the dole office, and yeah, you know, they're going and signing on. And then she had this husband who was who had a mistress, Lilo Lil.
Yeah.
But she was this Catholic, right? You know, there was quite a few scenes actually of Nellie Boswell going to for confession, and the old man was having an affair with this Lilo Lil, and she every so often she'd shout out, "She is a tart."
That's what she. Oh God, you're bringing it all back.
But tart. And it was all set around the kitchen table, yeah. You know. And it was a studio, you know, it was a studio.
It was very much
as they all were. But it was all. And then there was the granddad that lived a couple of doors down, and he was this miserable, "Oh, blimey, this looks in me gravy." So you know, these kind of stereotypes, you know. But again, she was just, you never saw her smile. She was angry. She was just this, you know, her lips were always pert. Yes. She had nothing good to say at all. You know, she, I don't even think that she loved her children, actually. She was just this repressed, very angry, uptight, scouse, Catholic, you know, from an Irish, you know, background.
Yeah.
And her kids were absolutely fucking terrified of her. She'd give them a clip round the ear.
Yes, you know. Wasn't that an ongoing thing that she had like a, that's where the bread, like she had the breads. The chicken.
Oh, pot. She'd open the eggs. So you'd sit. So they'd all sit down for dinner, and she'd lift up the chicken thing where you keep eggs.
Yeah,
and then everyone would have to put their keep in. You know.
Yes, that was it.
And she'd say, "Oh, you know," and then someone would always have an excuse why they hadn't got their share or whatever. You know. Yeah, it was.
She was a great character. I mean, I can't.
Yeah, tough. Great. Again, a really great actress. Again, you know. And I was just looking about Carla Lane, right, who wrote both, you know, both Bread and Butterflies. She was 58 when Bread came out.
Wow. That gives me hope.
Well, Well, yes, it should do. You know, she was, yeah, she was bloody 58 years old.
For those that don't know, I wrote a sitcom called Give Out Girls.
Before she was 58.
And I was before, which was now, I don't even want to say how long ago it was on Comedy Central. But, you know, there is that thing of, you know, the whole expectation thing. I'm doing another one. But, yeah, that got me, because we were doing this, and it's like, oh, why haven't I written a mum? But I guess up until now, I'm not being funny, but is that right what you know? I hadn't really thought about it. And I've still not, I mean, the ideas I've got in the bag at the moment isn't particularly, you know, apart from stand-up material. But yeah, I mean, Give Out Girls, it was only the event manager who was a mum, but she just referred to her in comedy fashion, that kind of character you never see, where she'd go, the phone would go and it'd be like, oh, it's okay, you know, it's like, you know, it's just like, you just to give this image that she wasn't a great mum, and she put work before her child. Mm-hmm. And that this child was just, yeah, a bit of a nightmare. But yeah, I digress. But well, that's good, because, well, what that says to me is you've got to have a live a bit. You've got to live a bit of life to be able to write a sitcom like Bread.
Well, yeah, I think so. And even, I mean, I guess she was a little bit older than Wendy Craig's character Rhea in Butterflies when she wrote her, you know. And I know that Carla Lane, when she's dead now, but when I listened to her being interviewed, and there was, yeah, she was very bitter. She was very bitter. She felt that the BBC had just completely cut her off.
Really?
And what had happened was then that they seemed to be giving all the airtime to like the Fast Show, to that gang, to that Manchester, right, you know, Steve Coogan, Carolina Hearn, and all that, the Baby Cow lot, you know.
Right.
She was very bitter about it, and she died bitter.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. She said, I remember her saying, she said, I could write whatever I wanted and it would get shown. Now, I'm not saying it should be like that, but
yeah.
But she felt like she'd been cut loose in her 60s.
Well,
by the BBC.
If you're watching down, we blimmin' love it. And
what do you think about the studio sitcom? I mean, we don't have them anymore, do we? We, yeah, just don't. It's just very unfashionable, isn't it?
People that don't know, listening. So, I mean, you've got the studio sitcom, is your typical, like Bread, which was mainly set in the kitchen. But, I mean, they did, a real sort of studio sitcom doesn't go anywhere. But I think that the rules are sort of broadening now. It's not like, oh, you have to do this. But that's another conversation. But other examples.
Well, Only Fools and Horses was a studio, wasn't it?
That's the studio, but they went about, I mean, especially as the series went on. But I mean, it was based very much in the living room. Royal Family is a good example. I never really leave that living room.
But it doesn't, the studio, but isn't a studio sitcom that you have to, it is in front of an audience. That's what I thought, that was a rule for what you would say a studio sitcom is.
God, I should know this. Just in filming or when writing, like when we're pitching an idea, we sort of have to say, is this studio based or not? And for me, I've never been told that means you'd have to have an audience. But maybe you're right. Obviously Black Books, that studio, and that was with a live audience.
IT Crowd as well, right?
IT Crowd. So sorry, what was your question? What do I think?
Yeah, because we just don't, because it's, I think, didn't The Office come along and kind of, then it was like, oh, this is, you know, studio sitcoms aren't fashionable now. It's all about the subtlety of.
Well, because The Office wasn't a studio sitcom.
No, that's what I mean. It's just like, oh, no, right, they're like, studio sitcoms are shit. We're not doing that anymore.
Well, in terms of pitching it, they bloody love you to, because obviously it's cheaper to make a studio sitcom. But I'm trying to think now if, I guess there's people that try to do it in a more cooler way.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Mrs. Brown's Boys. I'm trying to think of a bloody example. Simon Amstell's sitcom. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, Mum's House, Mother's House.
Or Grandma's House.
Grandmother's
I was
House,
about that
yeah.
Because obviously I was thinking about the mums in that, because obviously it's Grandma and Mum. That's studio. And that was sort of being a bit more updated. Obviously, Mum, BBC's Mum, with, forgotten her name, Leslie...
Manville.
Anyway, people don't want to hear whether we say that's a studio moment or not, but and that's because that's sort of, again, just based in her house. They don't really ever leave her house apart from that whole last series where they go to. So that is would be classed as studio. Most of those scenes would have been, studio. What did you think of Mum?
I've only seen, my mum loves it, and so when I was living with her, I watched a couple of episodes in the second series with the staying with the brother, you know, the second series.
Staying with the brother?
Yeah, her brother.
Her brother comes to stay?
No, she goes to stay, they go to some mansion somewhere.
Oh, yes, the last series.
Oh, right, well, yeah, okay, well, that's...
I'm confused.
Anyway, so I saw two episodes of that.
They go to a holiday home, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Right, yeah.
Oh, you've not seen, you see, you've got to see the first.
No, I will, but I've got a list as long as my arm as well, you know. You told me three things to watch just yesterday. I'm like, fucking hell, eh?
I did, sorry. I was like, watch this. Really, we should have.
I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Well, if we're looking at mum characters as in, I mean, she was just, to me, in a lot of ways, the archetypal, like, just like, I mean, her son is a flipping nightmare.
Yeah.
He does sort of calm down a bit, because I've got to be honest, in the first series, I was like, oh my God, he's so horrible to her. No one would put up with that. So if no one's watched it, the lot of the basis of it is, for me, is about dealing with grief. And, but... also, it's mother's love, because she's dealing with her own grief. Her son is dealing with his own grief, but in a way that he's just being a bit horrible to her, really. And in that he's not really thinking about what she's going through. But it's sort of, yeah, just that showing that we do just sort of put up with them being a bit shit because we're mums and that's what we do.
She plays a bit yeah, so she's kind of a suffering in terms of
but just
letting her son,
whether she's a character, mum, or just as a character, it's just a brilliant character. She's just so good at playing that the patience, and that to me is what a mum is all about, and which is something I haven't got, so I'm not a great mum, but her patience is amazing. I mean, she almost becomes a mum to her son's girlfriend because she practically moves in. Eventually she does. But, and we later meet her mum, who, you know, is a bit kind of like all over the place. So she sort of loves her. I've forgotten what her name is, the character's mum name. But it's another one, and I'm going to put it on. I bloody love the theme tune.
I got my ticket for the long way round. Boom, boom, boom. Two bottle whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. Yo, I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say?
Right, what Gemma's just heard is not the correct version, but you would have all heard the correct version. The version that Gemma just heard. But at the point of editing, it will have the correct version. So, yeah, we always love the theme tune. Leslie Manville from Mum. Check it out. Is there anyone who you would like to be your mum?
Well, this is what was touched on earlier, is that because we're watching drama or certainly watching comedy, there tends to be a lean towards like shit mums, I think.
Yeah.
You know, especially in comedy, you know, the neglecting mum, the, you know, the angry mum, the, you know, slutty mum or whatever, you know, it seems to be what they lean towards. So I couldn't tell you who I'd want to be my mum, really. I don't think I could. I think it's a tough one. There's a Sopranos mum who, again, it's that long suffering. You see, it's funny. I'm really drawn towards that, but absolutely protect their kids, you know. It's an odd thing. What about you?
Because I think that, like, I was looking at, I don't think I'd want Rhea to be my mum particularly. I'd want maybe to be my Rhea. And my other question would be, who would you like to play? And obviously I'd love to play Rhea. But in terms of being my mum, it's either Ma Larkin, Darling Buzz and May. I mean, come on. Like, just the comfort. I mean... Yeah, but then that whole family, I'd like to just live in that world. I do also love Pamela, Gavin and Stacey.
Do you love her or do you love Alison Steadman?
I do love Alison Steadman. And this is another thing we talked about off air, in that she's played a lot of mums. I mean, we could have done a whole show just on Alison Steadman and all the mums that she, maybe somebody else, because the idea is we've got people coming up who have played mums on TV, or they've written mums, or just connect, or we'll just have people coming on that are talking about mums on TV. And somebody maybe mentioned Alison Steadman, but yeah, I mean, it's not a TV program, it's a film, which maybe that would be a whole another part of this, is her Mike Leigh film, Life is Sweet. She plays a mum, which, different to Gavin and Stacey, because Pamela and Gavin and Stacey, I love her, that she's glamorous. She reminds me of a lot of my aunties and the women growing up, and that element of I love that, like, what's his name? James Corden character would come around and it's like, you're right, you eaten, you know, and that kind of, like, that's the women that I've grew up around. And I love that sort of, like, they love a do, they'll make the best of any situation. I mean, obviously she had moments, don't she, where she has a bit of a crisis, but generally she, nothing to bother, you know.
Loves a gossip as well. Gossip. Yes, yeah.
But also that element of, I don't like to gossip, you know, she's...
Of course, yes, yeah. Yeah, so a bit, think they're a bit posher than they are, or yes, a bit cleverer than they are, and yes.
But actually, look, the similarities, her and Ma Larkin, rustle you up a good meal. I think what we're seeing here is somebody is comfort, but there's comfort in that. But also Ma Larkin would be like making a do out of anything, you know. And but yeah, in Life is Sweet, mummy character's called Wendy, I think, completely different, but again, she is comforting in the, but what I love about Life Story, she clearly loves children. So she's a ballet teacher, and she just loves children. And her kids are grown up in Life Story. She's got twin daughters, and she talks about, oh, you were so cute when you were little, oh, look at you, you know. And they're like, oh, mom, shut up, you know. And she, yeah, so I like people that like kids, I guess. But again, she's just, I don't know, like the opening credits of Life is Sweet, she's putting a cardigan on, and she goes, come on, put your little cardigan on. And it's, I don't know, some people might listen and go, she sounds like a nightmare. I just find those, it's just what, you know, isn't it? It's like a comfort in them. But Yeah, but Alison Steadman in Gavin Stacey sort of reminds me of my Auntie Joyce. Even her, it's a house, isn't it? But you always think of it as like a bungalow. It's very similar to my auntie's. And just that whole, when there's Christmas, you know, people sleeping on the floor, putting people up different places. That, you know, that's what she was like. So I guess, yeah, I'd want Alison Steadman. I just want Alison Steadman to be my bum. My
yes,
bum,
well, yeah.
Generally, but I think Pamela... and even, yeah, going into her son and like, now you don't worry, I've got my earplugs in, you know, to when he's
yes, yes,
back. I've got me, so you just go for it, love, you know, let yourself go, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
your dad's had one of his pills, so just let yourself go.
okay,
and yeah, I mean, I don't, my mum wasn't a, she had the comforting factor, but she would be a bit, she didn't have that kind of like, oh, let's have a do thing. She would be a bit flustered by that. I mean, she'd do it, you know, if we all sort of, she had four daughters. If we all turned up, it was always a do. But my auntie was more the side of, I mean, and that was what would be what would happen. We'd go over to my auntie's house and my auntie would just happen to have a spread on, you know. So the two of them was quite a good mixture in that way. We can wrap things up soon. Another thing, just sort of finishing up, I think we haven't really talked about, yeah, I mean, you touched upon it, but the depiction of mums, and yeah, for the comedy, a lot of it is sort of like the sort of put upon mum. And I don't know what you think, obviously yourself now single mum, and I think
all the single mothers, all the single mothers.
Yeah. But hopefully it's getting better. And obviously we're not going to talk about motherland much, because hopefully we're going to be talking about it a lot. Certain people from the show, I'm not going to say any more coming on, but that was one of the things that inspired this, was, you know, you saying that really before that show, I think it's probably like just one of a kind in terms of the way it's showing mums.
Well, I think also my thing with, and so I don't want to talk about
it too
much, but
with the single mum thing,
I'll get go on.
No, but that was it. I'm just
sorry. No, that was it. But I think that something that I picked up on with Motherland, and that I was like, oh, this is so refreshing, is that it is about the mums and the relationships between them. The children do not speak. They have no lines. Yeah. The husbands, the significant others do not have, I don't think they even appear in it, really. They've got no lines.
No.
And it is just, and I'm really, hopefully we'll get to speak to someone who can talk through that, you know.
Yeah.
The thinking behind that concept. And it was great. And, you know, and it's, for me, it's just because there's four of them, but it's Sex and the City-esque, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because you have this, you know, this unit, and you're following these characters and these caricatures, and I love Anna Maxwell Martin's character. Oh, I'm going to go off and on about it. I'm going to shut up because we need to hold back. No, we need to hold back because, you know, hopefully we'll be.
That's all right. No, well, we might not talk about her particularly. We might go into other things, go with the flow. But the depiction of the single mum, be honest, obviously you're not going to like all characters. Was that something that sat with you all right? Or do you think, yeah?
No, I think, I don't know. Talk about Di Morgan.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she's brilliant.
The character.
I mean, she's brilliant. She's playing Diane Morgan, isn't she? You know, she's just, and she's, and I love it. And I think that, I'm not offended by it. Do I aspire to be Diane Morgan's character? No, I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, the sad thing about her in the first series anyway was that you know, the father of the kid still hanging around, and her, you know, sleeping with him and stuff, and you know, and you think, oh God, like that's, and that, and it was sad. And again, these tender moments.
I'm not saying this is what I think, but being devil's advocate, could some people see it's a bit stereotyping and that we want to
see. Yeah, but it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, yeah.
So you're
but I think what she does do is she's not, she's strong and she's in, you know, she is.
Oh, she's fucking smart.
She's so smart.
So and she doesn't let anybody. She doesn't let anybody tell her she's a stereotype. You know, she doesn't. She and she's the smartest one of all four of them as well. Yeah. Actually, you know, although she's on face value, she might be, you know, she might sleep around and you know, not have a job and all this sort of stuff. But she's smarter than out of all four of them. She's the smartest. And five now, I think, at some points in the second series, five of them.
Yeah, five. I'd want to know her. I feel like if she walked into the room, you'd think, oh, I think it's going to be all right. Like, she's just like, yeah, chill. Like, it's going to be fine sort of thing. You know, it's got that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully we're going to cover a lot more in this series. Obviously, don't even get me started on the any sort of main characters that are mums that are not white. Now, I'm hoping this was something we cover in the series because it's not good. It's not, especially UK. In America, a lot more. But there's not a lot of non-white mums that are big, you know, like main characters or significant mum character. And so...
But then you need to have depictions of black families or non-white families. And it's just not... You know, it's just not done, and you know, it's been talked about a lot at the moment this year. As I said, comic Dane Baptiste talks about it a lot. What, you know, where is it? He had a sitcom, and he said it was the first black sitcom commissioned in 20 years. Wow. You know, where you just don't have depictions of black families like you do white families. So of course, there's no black mums on TV to point to. Soaps there are, but no standalone, you know, there's no black Gavin and Stacey.
No.
You know, there's no black Fleabag, there's no black Only Fools and Horses. There's no, you know, it's a real shame. And I bet you there are tons of bloody scripts out there, tons of ideas, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, let's hope that's on the bloody change with now. Commissioners hopefully bloody waking up stuff, but that's something I'm hoping some of our guests might have something to say about. We didn't even get to talk about Roseanne Barr, but I think we might have Josie Long come on and talk about her.
Well, you've said it now, so
it's got to happen.
It'd be really embarrassing for her if she doesn't.
She will. She loves Roseanne Barr. early time I met her, and I'll probably repeat this. Not met her, but when I lived with her in Edinburgh, and she was like, I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, I think I'm just going to stay in tonight, like after a show. She said, no, you come with me. I'm just going to watch old Roseanne Barr. I'm going to watch the whole series. I was like, no, you're all right. I loved it, but I didn't want to watch it again. But maybe I do. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Look forward to this series. Let us know your favourite TV mums. We'd love to hear in the comments. And please do keep sharing, do keep subscribing. It really makes a difference. And rate and love us. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.